to another edition of the Minnesota Beercast. I am Drew. That's my co-host, Schmitty.
Hey, hey.
Happy Friday night, everybody. Hope you're enjoying kickoff to your weekend.
Yeah. Up a top. Enjoy the show.
It's going to be a nice, nice weekend.
Shoot us a message on Twitter. Let us know what beverage you're enjoying on this fine Friday evening if you enjoy the Minnesota Beercast.
Or take a picture of your beer and tag us on Instagram.
There you go. Newland_Beercast.
For both of them. Do that. Not enough people do that. We need more people to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fun. I like to know what you're drinking.
I do. And then get invited over to have some.
No, you can just send me some beer. I don't really want to come over. I mean, you know.
We need a designated
Minnesota
beer cast, like beer drop-off point, like those Amazon lockers.
There you go.
You know? So we'll set up a Minnesota beer cast locker.
What is an Amazon locker? Don't they just drop things off at your house? Why do you need a locker?
Some people do the locker. I don't know. Maybe it saves on shipping. I don't know why they do it, but I know they do it.
Sounds
where you
dumb.
You maybe you save a little money. Maybe it's a few bucks cheaper or something, where you can set it up to be picked up at a designated location.
Amazon doesn't have to go all the way to your house.
Don't ask me about the logic behind it. I just know it exists.
Okay.
I'm just aware of it as a thing.
Okay.
And I think we should replicate this idea for the beer cast. We'll set up a few, you know, strategic locations around the Twin Cities metro area.
I'm going to put a locker outside my house.
And then, I don't... If you want people to know where you live, that's fine.
I'm not going to tell people it's outside my house, but I'm just going to put it...
How are they going to put... You know what?
He says on the radio.
I'm trying to come up with a brilliant idea here, and you're just being stupid. Oh,
sorry. Just spitballing.
Just arguing with me as usual. I don't appreciate
that's
it.
That's what I do. We've got a fun show planned for today. We've going to have Derek Almendinger from Unmapped Brewing. He should be here at some point. I think he might be stuck in traffic. I don't know.
It's entirely possible.
He might not show up. So who knows? Derek could be here. Derek could not be here. But we're going to do a show either way.
Yeah. If he's not here, we'll just talk about him.
Yeah. if he shows up, the talk about him will improve.
We'll talk with him or about him. Derek.
We've got Sean Cook from the Happy Gnome is here. How you doing, Sean?
Hello.
Lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien is going to call in at some point as well. So it's going to be a fun show.
Yeah, we've got updates on a topic we covered a while back regarding the laws that govern what percentage of Minnesota grapes must be used in Minnesota made wine. So we got an update with that with our expert attorney, lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien. Looking forward to that conversation.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. You know, there's a lot of disparity between the laws that govern wine and cider, and then compare that to beer and spirits in Minnesota. There's a wide valley in between all those.
It's frustrating to navigate at times.
Yeah, absolutely. So he's going to talk about that. But let's, this week, a list dropped about the Minnesota State Fair and all the fantastic flavors of beverages that are going to be available.
It's a fun time of
there.
Year.
It is.
Fun time of year. I enjoy when the new beer list drops for the Minnesota State Fair.
Do you have a philosophy on the fair beer? Do you have a purist type of opinion, or are you the crazier, the wilder, the more quote-unquote gimmicky, the better?
I would say I lean towards the latter, because this is, you know, the one event of the year that sort of celebrates the quirkiness, that celebrates the odd flavors, you know, and it's been doing that with food for decades. I mean, that's always been the thing of the fair. You come up with some odd food item that you might have never heard or conceived of before, and hopefully, you know, it tastes good and it's enjoyable and it's a hit. And I think it's appropriate for the beer community to sort of follow in that lead.
Has there been any that have gone, do you think, too far down that road?
I'm sure there have. I'm not coming off the top of my head. Nothing is really jumping out at me. I think there are, like, I think a good example of a beer that is a nice state fair beer that, you know, wouldn't really work in any other context was that dill pickle beer that we had. I think that was last year. Might have been the year before.
I've heard from a lot of people that really, really enjoyed that beer.
I enjoyed it quite a bit. I thought it was really nice. And, I remember we were sitting there drinking it at, what was it, Giggles?
Could be. There was a lot of beer consumed. I'm not sure exactly when and exactly where. I'm pretty sure that there was a cigar in my hand.
I don't know that I would have enjoyed that beer in another context, in another setting, other than a hot August day at the Minnesota State Fair, when you sort of go there with the expectation that you're going to put some odd things in your mouth.
Oh, you have a different expectation of the fair than I do.
Do you not put odd things in your mouth when you go to the fair?
Depends on how many beers I've had.
So I think that's a good example. I really liked that dill pickle beer. I don't know that, that I would ever go buy a six pack of it from a liquor store, but in that environment, in that setting, it really worked, and I thought it was quite tasty.
Well, let's run down at least the first part of the list with Sean and see if the dill pickle beer is on its way back to the Minnesota State Fair for 2019, and let's get some hot takes on the list. You want to run through it, Drew?
Sure. We'll just start at the top. We've got 53 brand new beverages premiering at the fair. I don't know if we'll get all through them, but we'll start at the top.
Yeah, we'll see what we got.
Lulu's Public House, made by Shells. We've got Berry Go Round Sour, mixed culture Berliner Weiss, aged for more than a year in 80-year-old cypress wood layering tanks. The beer is refreshingly tart and dry, bursting with fruit flavors atop the lemony-based beer. 5% ABV, a whole whopping 5 IBUs.
I am all over it. I don't think there's been one of those beers that's come out of the Star of the North that I have not enjoyed. So
yeah,
I am all over that one.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You see Shell's name attached to something, and even if it's not necessarily the type of beer you might like, it's going to be well made. It's going to be good.
What do you think, Sean?
I've no secret that I'm a big Shell's fan, and just all the list of blackberry, raspberry, blueberry, strawberry, summer.
Yeah.
Summer in glass.
Yeah, it's going to be delicious.
I saw that Shell's is doing a IPA, so bit concerning.
It is not.
It's
great German tradition.
Right. They're following the great German tradition of what? So I'm anxious to talk to Jace. Maybe we'll get him on and
let's go down
see.
There. It's been a while since we've been down there.
Okay.
Yeah. What are you doing tonight?
Let's go down there and do a show.
All right. Thursday, Friday. When
I've got Twins tickets on
Friday.
You don't
like coming to St. Paul, but you want to drive to New Ulm?
Yep. There's less traffic between where I live and New Ulm.
Well,
I don't mind going to St. Paul when there's no traffic.
Oh, I see.
It's not it's the traffic that I hate.
Just live there. That'll be fine.
Exactly. Just move there so we can do the occasional beer cast.
We'll get him on soon and talk about what it means to have that new IPA, because I want to hear what they're doing there.
I want to drink about 12 of them too.
What's
I
next
won't know them? Until number 12 if I like it.
It's the 12th one that tastes the
that's
best.
Right. That's when the palate really shines. Utapils, our friends over at Utapils, are making something called the Berry Manilow. This thirst quenching elixir starts with a lightly hopped brew blended with Utapils' house made lemonade and a splash of pureed raspberries. That's going to be at Dino's Gyros.
I wonder what the story is behind that name, because there's got to be...
It's Berry spelled B-E-R-R-Y.
Oh, Lord.
So that's probably the story right there.
That was a stretch.
Dino's Gyros is fantastic, though. I big fan of the Gyros, and Dino's Gyros specifically.
Mm-hmm.
I love their Philly cheesesteak version, where they throw the... Oh, man. If you haven't had it, I recommend it. I don't know that I would pair it with this.
Yeah, I was going to say raspberry there with Euro.
Yeah.
Raspberry.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's a good. That's a good combo.
sounds like a pairing fail to me, and I'm not sure of anything that I would get at Dino's that would go well with
a lemonade raspberry flavor.
A second Euro.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I'm struggling on that one. So that might be a swing and a miss, but if you're just swinging in for a beer, right? That might be a hit.
That sounds tasty.
Yeah.
Our friends over at Sociable Cider Works are doing a Blood Orange Freewheeler. Freewheeler is, of course, their dry apple cider. They sweetened it with freshly pressed blood orange for a tart and effervescent taste.
Yeah, if you're in the mood for a...
That's going to be at Lulu's Public House.
Yeah, you know, perfect for a hot August afternoon or evening.
Yeah, that sounds good. All right, we got to take a break. We got a lot more of these State Fair Premier Beers to get to. We're not going to get to all of them, but we'll get through as much of the list as we can. You're listening to the Minnesota Beercast. All right, welcome back to the Minnesota Beercast State Fair Preview Edition. Be talking with our good friend, lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien, coming up shortly, probably in the next segment, about some winery changes. But in the meantime, we are enjoying hanging out with Sean Cook and going over some of the new beers that are coming to the State Fair.
Yes, yeah, a lot.
It's
53.
It's more than we're going to get to.
It's amazing how far Minnesota has come in regard to beer at the Minnesota State Fair. There was a time
it's
not
really,
that long ago.
It's really turned me around on the fair.
When you could only get a few select beers at the State Fair, and they were not that delicious. And so to see the, you know, the wide variety of beverages available at the State Fair, it warms my cold, black, shriveled little heart.
It's turned me into someone who was not the biggest fan of going to the fair to someone who really looks forward to it every year.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's jump back into the list since we are on a time constraints here. The next one, I'm just going in alphabetical order, so if you happened to name your beer with anything past an H, you're probably not going to get mentioned on the show, but we'll go with from
line. We'll try to pick it up and go faster.
Jump to the last one.
Line and Kugel has a Canoe Paddler Kolsch. It sounds like it's a pretty basic, straightforward Kolsch brewed with rye, though, a slightly spicy yet smooth. I'm sure that's going to be delicious. That's at the Liney Lodge.
Surprise.
But Lift Bridge, good friends over at Lift Bridge, they're always one of the highlights of the fair, is what Lift Bridge puts together. Cherry Firework Hard Seltzer.
I'd try it.
So we had Lift Bridge on the show a while back, and they, you know, previewed their new seltzer. So this is a great opportunity to draw some attention to the fact that they're making hard seltzers now.
So seltzers are all the rage, and I think Lift Bridge does one of the best examples of hard seltzer. I think it's fantastic. I really want to try this one.
Also, 5% ABV. I mean, really looking for stuff at the fair. It's going to be hot. It's going to be humid. Walking around, you don't want something big and boozy.
It's a great point. Not going to knock you over.
It's brewed or crafted, I'm sorry, with all natural cherries. That's going to be at the Ballpark Cafe. Also at the Ballpark Cafe, Bent Paddle has a Cherry Passion Fruit Tart Ale. That sounds... pretty delicious.
Big on the fruit this year.
Big on the fruit. Well, it is the fair. I mean,
well, and it's an easy addition, right? Yep. It's not anything that's too over the top as far as an adjunct to add to your beer. So, you know, it's not any of those wild, crazy. It's not dill pickle.
Well, you're thinking light beers. You're thinking summer. You're not going to go chocolate, cocoa nib, vanilla, you know, those kind of things.
This is not where you want to release darkness.
Makes sense.
Over at Giggles Campfire Grill, our good friends over at Fair State have a Cocoa Lime Wit, blend of lime and coconut-infused wit beer and tart wheat beer, fruity, balanced summer sipper, 5.2% ABV.
Yeah, those flavors make a lot of sense.
Yep. Those flavors do make a lot of sense, and I trust Fair State to do a good job with that.
Mm-hmm.
Just sounds like a cocktail.
Mm-hmm. This one sounds like it's going to be one of the more polarizing beers at the fair this year. Lupulin, who we love on this show, Cotton Candy Cream Ale.
That's a hard pass for me.
Same.
Yeah.
That has the potential of being overly sweet.
Yep. What is the flavor of cotton candy?
Sugar?
Yeah.
Sugar, maybe bubble gum.
Red.
Yeah, just not... Yeah, that's the only red flavor I like is my steak. I'm going to pass.
That's going to be at a Hildebrand Concessions. Then another cotton candy, since we are going in alphabetical order, of course, they would be back-to-back. Cotton Candy Milkshake IPA, another polarizing... just a polarizing style, first of all, and then the cotton candy flavors. That's not going to be for everybody.
I feel like cotton candy and milkshake is a little redundant at this point.
Right? Yeah. Just so you know, it's not dry in the slightest.
That's Big Wood Brewery is putting that one together, and you can find it at the Hideaway Speakeasy. I'd like to try those, just out of curiosity.
Yeah, I'll take a sip of yours if it's okay.
No, it's not.
I'm not buying a whole beer.
Country Rose Spritzer, our friends over at the Blue Barn, a rosé spritzer infused with hibiscus and topped off with a splash of soda. That wine is from Alexis Bailey Vineyard. And, of course, that's Blue Barn, our friends over at the Blue Plate Group.
Mm-hmm.
Put that one together. Yeah, I'm sure that's going to be tasty. Crop Duster Lager.
Did you brew this beer?
Now, that's an interesting choice of a name.
This is a beer that's really odoriferous. You just walk by people.
it's got a really interesting aroma.
Comes in a spray bottle as you walk by people. This is Fair State, again, at the Hangar. It's just a regular American lager. It says here, made for drinking at a regular American pace, made with real corn the old-fashioned way. I like the sound of that.
Right. Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Dreamsicle Hard Malt. Hard Malt. This is going to be at Coasters. It's a spin on the classic malt, a sweet treat that starts with blood orange hard Italian soda blended together with vanilla ice cream.
Hmm.
The beverage is made with a Bravasi hard Italian soda.
You know, I just enjoyed a vanilla milkshake last night, and I would try this one. It's not like the cream ale where it sounds super sweet. I mean, of course, it's going to be a little bit sweet because it's got the
ice cream.
You're right. It's got sure. ice cream in it, but it's not. I don't know. It just sounds where it's not. I don't know.
It's a boozy malt.
Boozy
ice cream malt.
I like orange. I like vanilla. I like alcohol. So.
Right?
Abel Seed House and Brewery is going to present the Elderflower Wheat Ale. This is going to be at the Ballpark Cafe. Pairs locally grown wheat with Triple Pearl hops from Mighty Axe Hops for a soft melon and sweet citrus flavor.
Hmm.
That should be tasty.
I'd be interested to see how the Elderflower plays with those hops.
Yeah. What do elderflowers taste like, Sean? I have no idea.
I say Saint Germain tastes like elderflower, and elderflower tastes like Saint Germain.
Oh, well, that explains it.
Yeah. a little bit limey, a little bit melon.
Okay.
Melon-esque.
Okay.
That's a word I just made up, melon-esque.
So it's got some tart, got some melon.
Yeah.
Okay. Surly's paired up with former Twin All-Star pitcher Glenn Perkins again.
Nice.
For the Four Seam Screamer, a West Coast-inspired IPA. That's going to be available at Ballpark Cafe. Last year, I don't remember what it was called, but they did a beer with Glenn Perkins last year, and I remember I tried it, and I remember I liked it.
Yep, it was good.
Funnel Cloud F2 Ale. This is Bad Weather. This is going to be at Mancini's Alfresco. This has notes of lightly toasted bread, caramel, and vanilla. It's inspired by the classic State Fair funnel cake.
I like this not too sweet copper colored ale.
Let
you know up front, this is not too sweet.
Yeah, I appreciate that because I'm not going to give it a hard pass right away. I might swing by.
Turns out we have dry palates in the studio.
Let's see. 612 Brew has the Great Minnesota Citra Gether.
I get it.
Yeah, yep. I get it. It's
what you did there.
IPA, bright citrus, tangerine, and slightly nutty profile. That's going to be at Coasters.
Hmm.
Again, 612 Great Minnesota Citra Gether IPA.
Had me until I got to nutty. I don't know that I want a nutty addition to my IPA.
Well, nuts kill you. So
that's true.
The Great Minnesota Handshake is going to be a collaboration here by Indeed and the Free House. That's going to be at the Blue Barn. It's a strawberry milkshake cream ale with big strawberry fruit flavor and a touch of vanilla.
I like it.
Yep. If it's at all inspired by Strawberry Fields, then I'm totally in.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a solid beer.
And and knowing it's a collaboration by Indeed and Free House, you know, expectations that it'll be at the very least very well made, even if it doesn't hit my specific palate.
Yep, high expectations on that one.
The Honeybee Lavender Honey Mead. Okay, this is a sociable cider works at Lulu's Public House. It's a mead, sparkling honey with a touch of lavender, fermented to a semi-sweet effervescent finish, 6% ABV.
Mm.
Meads are
sweet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Apparently that's a word we don't like today.
I don't like it every day, but yeah. Not that it's, you know, and lavender doesn't do anything for me on top of sweet, so it's like, you know.
Yeah, I know that could be a bit much.
I have tried mead from the brewers at Sociable, and it's pretty good.
Yeah, not to say it's not a bad example of the style, but
yeah.
For me personally, probably not.
Yep.
Kirby Puckard, number 34, Arnie Palmer. This is a Eastlake Craft Brewery. It's going to be at the Ballpark Cafe. This is the third in a series of State Fair exclusives. It's brewed with loose leaf tea, lemon zest, and lemon juice with a hint of sweetness. So they're obviously playing off the sweet tea and lemonade mix on Arnold Palmer.
A little lacto in there.
This sounds fantastic.
Yep.
I will say, it sounds like a perfect State Fair beverage.
It sounds really good.
Mm-hmm.
Another lavender. We got Lavender Lemonade Bubble Trouble. This is a Cannon River Winery, or at least the wine comes from there. This is going to be at the Hideaway Speakeasy. It's a wine accented with lavender-infused lemonade, creating a fragrant, bubbly cocktail.
Hmm.
Say it slower.
I'm good.
All right, and we're also good for this segment. So let's take another break here, and we'll get through more of this list.
Well, let's get O'Brien on the line.
You want to do that in the next segment?
Let's do that.
All right, we'll take a pause from the list, and we'll talk with Jeff O'Brien when we come back. Stick around.
Whiskey River, take my mind.
Welcome back to the Minnesota Beer Cast. State Fair Beer Preview Edition. I am Drew, that is Schmitty. Don't forget to get the iHeartRadio app and subscribe, follow the Minnesota Beer Cast. Just click on the podcast tab, search Minnesota Beer Cast, and stay updated and up to date with the show at all times.
All right. Sorry, just enjoying the Willie.
All right.
Just enjoying the Willie, that's all. I like Willie.
Lawyer extraordinaire is on the phone with us, Jeff O'Brien, great friend of the show. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well.
Thank you for joining us.
So I think last time, Jeff, you were on, we had talked about the Supreme Court had made a big overturn decision, and maybe you can refamiliarize our listeners with that, I guess, ruling, and what that means for us here in Minnesota, because there's been some movement on that, most specifically with a couple of wineries here.
Yeah, so if you guys recall when we talked about this a few weeks ago, this is a Supreme Court case that came down against the Tennessee Retailers Association. Bottom line is a couple moved from Oregon to Tennessee. They wanted to apply for a license to open a Total Wine in Tennessee, and they were denied because they hadn't been residents for 2 years, and there was a requirement by law where they had to be residents for 2 years in order to obtain a retail liquor license. The Supreme Court struck that down under a doctrine called the Dormant Commerce Clause. The Commerce Clause is, of course, in the U.S. Constitution that gives the federal government, you know, makes some power to regulate interstate commerce. And one of the, you call the Dormant Commerce Clause, comes into play when you have a state basically coming up with protectionist laws and making it harder for somebody outside of the state to do business. That's where somebody inside the state basically discriminating between residents and non-residents of the state. And for you guys, remember we talked about this, is that this decision could have implications for other areas of liquor law, including in Minnesota. And lo and behold, we have a Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals decision reversing a lower court ruling and finding in favor of some Minnesota wineries on a case over a law that requires farm wineries to use 51% Minnesota-grown products in their products.
Right. Makes sense. You know, is my basic understanding of the Dormant Commerce Clause at least somewhat accurate, where we live in a union of states, right, where there's an agreement where there's 50 different states, right? And so the idea being that because it's a cooperative entity, I would, you know, as Minnesotans, agree that we're not going to treat Wisconsinites or folks from Iowa or other states any differently than we would people from Minnesota, because we're supposed to be a union. Is that correct?
A little bit, yeah. So essentially what the Dormant Commerce Clause, the theory is that the power to regulate interstate commerce is the purview of the federal government.
Gotcha.
So So when the states are making laws like this, where you're saying you have to use, you know, products made, produced, you know, crops grown within our state, you're now getting into regulating interstate commerce. And the feds say, no, no, you can't do that.
So that law could be made, but that would have to be done at the federal level, not at the state level.
Correct. Correct.
Gotcha. Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah. So, but I think, I think this is a good decision. I mean, it's not done yet. It's being, the way this works is there was summary judgment granted on behalf of the Department of Public, the Commissioner of Public Safety, because of course in Minnesota the Department of Public Safety has AGE, Alcohol and Gambling Enforcement Division, underneath it. Okay, so that's why you sue the Commissioner of Public Safety if you're going after some, you know, rule or law of, you know, that's made by AGED, right?
Right.
And so that's where this, they were granted summary judgment, meaning, you know, it didn't go all the way to a trial. There was the judge found reason to grant summary judgment against the wineries, and the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals has now reversed that. So it goes back for further proceedings. But, you know, I think it's looking good right now for the wineries. And, you know, I think that this, I understand the policies behind wanting to have Minnesota grown grapes or Minnesota grown apples if it comes to cider, because obviously you want to support the farmers, but, you know, but also you have a practical issue of, you're hindering the winery's ability to make quality products.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing against Minnesota grapes, but Minnesota grapes can't compete against California or a lot of some of the other winemaking states out there. And the other issue is there's just not enough of them. And we come down to that with cider. There's just not enough cider apples in Minnesota to supply all the cideries that want to make cider here. So that's where I think that we're seeing this clash right now, and that's why I think that this ruling is a good one, and I think will ultimately, you know, make our wineries more competitive by allowing them to experiment with, you know, crops from other states.
So, question: there's more than one type of winery in Minnesota, right? You can be a winery, or you can be a farm winery, as I understand it. Is that correct?
Yeah. There's a commercial wine license, and then there's a farm wine license. But with a commercial wine license, there still is a requirement that you have to use 51%.
That was what I wasn't clear on.
Your own product.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it makes sense if you're a farm winery that there's certain benefits afforded to you to support the local economy and use a certain amount of products made by farms here in Minnesota. That makes sense to me if there's a certain license where there's things cut out to benefit the local agriculture. But if you're going to be a commercial winery, then there's a different set of rules. But if they're both held to this standard and it affects, you know, commercial and farm wineries alike, then, yeah, sounds like fair game to me.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll see where ultimately if the district court does anything more with this, but I'm hoping this kind of strikes a blow, you know, and some of these, we just got to stop with these protectionist laws affecting our liquor manufacturers.
Exactly.
It's just, you know, we're causing our folks to operate, you know, at a disadvantage compared to other states.
Do you see this type of, I guess, lawsuit spilling over into any other areas as far as production is concerned, or is it really at this point just limited to wineries and possibly some cideries?
I think it's wineries and cideries. I do think, you know, this is specifically relating to grapes here. So whether or not this also affects the cider, if not, I'm sure we'll see, it could see a party like the Cider Guild or a group of cideries challenge this requirement on the same grounds, because, I mean, again, there's just not enough cider apples in Minnesota to supply all the cideries that are starting up.
Yeah, and you know, really, you're hindering the growth of companies needlessly, right?
It
doesn't make sense.
Yeah. This is just one more example of how our laws are hindering the growth of our manufacturing tier. And we could do an entire show on that. But I think what's needed overall is a top-to-bottom review of our liquor laws and compare them with what other states are doing and find out, are there ways that we can make our industry, our manufacturing tier, more competitive? And it's, you know, the wholesalers and the retailers are going to cry bloody murder, but there's got to be a better balance struck than what we have right now.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. Well, thank you so much, Jeff O'Brien. If folks want to follow you on social media, where should they go?
They can follow me on Twitter on @JeffO'Brien, also on Facebook and LinkedIn. And they go to jeffreyobrien.today. That's my website. They can find, you know, all sorts of stuff on there, too, content and podcast archives and articles and everything else.
Sounds good. Thanks so much for joining us, Jeff. We'll be back after this. Are you listening to the Minnesota Beercast on AM 1130 and 103.5 FM?
In twilight glow, I see.
Final segment of the Minnesota Beercast, Willie Nelson edition. Love Willie Nelson. I don't know that there is a more pleasant voice than Willie Nelson's.
As you're listening to this, I might be listening to, watching some Willie Nelson at the Target Center.
It's amazing. He's still out there touring. Dude, Target Center, even. That's awesome.
He is, yeah.
He's a machine.
He's an Iron Man.
It's all that weed. All right, we are back. We got Sean from Happy Gnome still hanging out. I really enjoyed the conversation with Jeff O'Brien in the last segment, but we've got a lot more of these State Fair beers to get through, so let's not waste any more time. We left off with Lavender Lemonade Bubble Trouble. That was the last one we did. So we are up to Leinenkugel's Hefeweizen.
Yeah, it's a Hefeweizen.
I'm all about about a good Hef.
Yep.
Yeah, seems pretty straightforward. That's going to be, of course, at the Liney Lodge. Tin Whiskers has a Lemon Drop Shandy, a wheat ale brewed with lemon juice and honey, making a slightly sweet, sessionable shandy. That's going to be at Giggles.
Honey seems to be a theme today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 And shandies are great for, you know, hot August days, so that works. Lemon Meringue Pie Ale by Lupulin.
You think State Fair, you think pie eating contest? I'd give it a shot.
Sure. Blonde ale with notes of bright citrus.
I'd like to see the cream on there actually toasted. Like, toast the froth of the beer.
Good luck.
Surly is going to be at Dino's Gyros. They're going to have a Mango Medusa, bright and zesty beer, a mango-infused ale, light and fruity with a pop of tart flavor.
Yeah, I'd give it a shot. I don't know if it's, again, one of those that I don't know if how great it's going to go with a Euro, but as I think about it here, I'm not sure what kind of beer would go great with a Euro.
Czech Pilsner.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Something real, just very, very straightforward. You don't want to compete with those strong Euro flavors, I don't think.
Makes sense.
Or a Shell's Firebrick. Send me that marketing money, Ted.
Goes great with everything.
Sticking with the mango theme, at Lulu's Public House, Fulton Brewing has a Session IPA, twice dry hopped with Citra, Mosaic, Amarillo hops, and fruited with mango puree. It's called Mango Star.
Yeah. I definitely think the Hop Star from Fulton is one of the strongest Session IPAs there is out there. It's very impressive. So
I agree.
Add mango to that, I'm in.
It's a winner.
Mighty Magenta Dragon Fruit IPA.
You skipped.
I did. Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. One. You're right. I skipped one. The Michelada.
Yeah.
It's a Michelob Golden Light mixed with hot sauce, lime juice, and a blend of spices.
I've never had a Michelada.
That's at Tejas Express.
They're better than you think they are.
Yeah. Well, you put hot sauce on just about anything, like a little lime juice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll drink it. Yeah. Why not?
That's got a very specific audience, and I am not it. That is not a combination of flavors that I think I'm good. It reminds me of a Bloody Mary, and I don't like Bloody Mary.
I like Bloody Mary.
And you're hungover at the State Fair, and you need a Bloody Mary, you can't get vodka.
That'd be the worst place to be hungover. Rubbing up against sweaty people.
Smelling onions and funnel cake.
I've never had the palate for Bloody Marys, so I don't think I'd like that. All right, bound to the Mighty Magenta Dragon Fruit IPA. This is Bent Brew Stillery put this together. It's going to be at the Ballpark Cafe. The description reads, from the minds of two State Fair homebrew blue ribbon winners, this fluorescent magenta beast gushes with exotic dragon fruit and juicy New World hops, all supported by 100% Minnesota malt, featuring notes of passion fruit and mango and red berries with a dank, crisp, and dry finish. That sounds like an adventure.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of dragon fruit. I'm a little upset that it's got a lot more fruit added to it. I like passion fruit straight up. I think mango and red berry definitely won't hurt it, though.
I give it a shot. I like that they collaborate with homebrewers on this venture.
Yeah.
So that's really cool.
Give them a chance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Minnesotan IPA. This is going to be by Summit at Shanghai to Henry's and the Summit booth. American style IPA. Golden color, intense aromas of pineapple, grapefruit, and apricot. Sounds like a pretty straightforward IPA.
Yeah.
Nothing really crazy in that.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yep. And it's a Summit, so it's going to be well made.
Mm-hmm.
Minnesota Mimosa, a breakfast classic served all day. The wine is from Cannon Falls. That's going to be at O'Gara's, a sparkling wine topped with orange juice.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with that. The MN Brew Together Orange Dreamsicle IPA. This is a collaboration between Modest and Barrel Theory. Two of my favorites.
Yep.
Orange.
I'm in already.
Do I have to stand in line for this beer?
Orange Dreamsicle Style IPA. And this is going to be, of course, at the Ballpark Cafe. That sounds pretty amazing.
I'd give it a shot.
I have to take back my earlier comments about vanilla, because there it is.
yeah, right?
You can't have a Dreamsicle without some vanilla in there.
Lakes and Legends has MN Haze. notes of citrus and tropical fruit, 100% Minnesota-grown hazy IPA. And that's going to be at O'Gara's.
All right.
Yeah, shout-out to Mighty Axe on that one again.
Yep.
Insight Brewing Company has the Nordic Strawberry Blonde Ale. That's going to be at the Hangar, an easy-drinking berry brew. It's light, smooth, and refreshing, 5.6 ABV. Sounds good. That's Insight, once again. Round Lake Winery is making the wine that you will find in the North Star Froze Blanc, a refreshing frozen blend of guava puree, lemon, orange, and passion fruit juices. You'll find that at Giggles Campfire Grill.
Dude, there should be more of that.
Yeah.
There should be more frozen, boozy, slushy stuff at the state fair.
That'll be our next episode.
I'm all about it.
Surly, once again, is going to have a juicy, hazy, hop-forward IPA called Onesie Twosie Lulu Lucky.
That's a name.
Going to be at Lulu's Public House. Orange Push-Up Pop. Is made by Fulton at Cafe Caribe, bringing you right back to summer vacation with that perfect cool treat, a pale ale featuring bright citrus and tropical fruit matched with refreshingly light malt body, finished with orange cream and lactose, and rimmed with zesty orange sugar.
I'm imagining a pint glass that somehow has something attached in the bottom that you're pushing it up to drink from it as you go.
Right?
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
You know, we talked about Dino's earlier and kind of the pairing of food. This sounds like something to be really good with some Caribbean food.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Castle Danger making an appearance at the fair. I don't remember seeing them in previous years. I don't know if they were at the fair or not.
Mm-hmm.
But they've got Peaches and Cream Ale. You're going to find this at O'Gara's. It's the popular Castle Danger Cream Ale with a hint of malty aroma and a slightly sweet, creamy texture. The addition of juicy peach enhances the sweet aromas and flavors without being too overpowering. So peach-infused cream ale.
It's tough to do peach well. It is.
Yeah, that doesn't sound bad at all.
Sounds like there's not going to be like a lacto addition to this to make that cream flavor. So just the cream ale is the cream ale.
Yep.
Finnegan's has People Watcher, a dry pilsner with notes of grapefruit and orange. You're going to find that at Aldo's, Sabino's, Swine and Spud's Snack House. Pomegranate Bubbly Mojito at the Hideaway Speakeasy is going to be made with Cannon River Sparkling Edelweiss Wine. That sounds pretty tasty.
Give it a shot.
I like mojitos a lot. At the Frontier Bar, you can find Prickly Pear IPA by Fulton, an approachable, easy-drinking IPA fruited with prickly pear puree. That's going to be...
Never had a prickly pear.
I was going to say, that's going to be a new flavor for a lot of Minnesotans.
I'm from Arizona, so prickly pear is delicious.
Something similar to that I might know?
Yeah, I was going to say something based on the elderflower earlier, but I'm not that clever. No, it's delicious. It sort of slightly tart, similar to a dragon fruit-ish. I'm probably
going to so no, yell, nothing yell I know, for then. That. No. All right.
At Mancini's Alfresco, you'll find the red wine Sorvino. This is made with wine from Cannon River Winery. Intense strawberry and jam flavors of red wine, complemented by a dollop of sweet and tart house-made berry sorbet gelato.
Nice. More of that frozen, slushy, boozy stuff.
Yeah. Indeed, back again at the ballpark with Rosa Fresca. It begins with their Mexican honey light, finished with hibiscus and lime for a pink, rosy hue with notes of citrus and sweetness.
Did they stop making their original recipe Mexican honey? Because I really like that beer, and now all I see is the Mexican honey light. You guys know?
I don't know.
Well, I don't. I was just there.
I like the diesel version.
There seems to be a theme of pink drinks here, which I'm definitely not opposed to. Pink drinks are delicious.
We are we're getting low on time here, so I'm gonna.
If we run out of time, should we do a little post show?
Yeah, we can do a little extra.
All right.
Yeah, we can do a little extra. Let's see. Where did I leave off at the?
We're gonna do the Chandlot.
Chandlot mixed berry shandy. This is by Bauhaus at the Ballpark Cafe. A delicious lemony concoction and a classic summery brew infused with mouthwatering blend of strawberries, blackberries, and raspberries.
I remember having this last year, and I remember really, really liking it.
Yep.
We're going to have to, unfortunately, wrap up the sort of broadcast portion of this, but we will do an extra segment for podcast-only listeners. So if you're listening to this on Twin Cities News Talk, get the iHeartRadio app, grab the podcast, and we will run through the rest of the list on the podcast-only segment.
We'll see you next time.
Back next week with a brand new episode. Cheers.
Cheers.
Lend me your ears. I like beer. It makes me a job.
All right, welcome back. Although, if you're hearing this, you didn't really leave. You just, the podcast just kept playing. So, you didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Just habit. Welcome to the podcast extra segment. Woo! I don't know, we need a name for this.
The bonus.
Beercast After Dark.
Yeah.
Although it's still light out.
The Beercast Bonus After Dark segment. All right. We've been running through the State Fair beers and not just beers, but new beverages making their debut at the State Fair. We left off with the Chandlot Mixed Berry Shandy by Bauhaus. So we'll move on to Surly making a spritzer. Not really. It's a light and dry sparkling lager. It has delicate tropical notes of passion fruit and mango with a crisp finish.
You know what? I like that. I think that the Brut IPA is going to be one of the styles of the future, and just seeing more light and dry beers. I can't get enough of
it. I'm wondering if this is similar to the Australian sparkling ale that was introduced into the last BJCP changes.
I like that style a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Calling it a spritzer, though, I mean, do you think people are going to order it and almost expect a seltzer?
Do they say that it's just a beer? Or because a spritzer is typically when you're pouring something on top, is it?
It's a light and dry sparkling lager.
All right.
With notes of passion fruit and mango with a crisp finish.
I think if there's enough fruit there and not a lot of beer flavor, that spritzer is going to pass for okay.
Okay.
I'll allow it.
That's going to be at Lulu's.
Yellow card.
That's going to be at Coasters.
All right.
Lulu's Public House as the next one. Sociable Cider Works making a, here you go, Schmitty, slushy Lulu limoncello.
2019 is the year of the slushy.
It's their Road Rash Shandy Apple combined with zesty and juicy lemon and then frozen into a slushy.
Hell yeah.
I'm in.
That's at Lulu's.
Yeah.
It's hard with the slushy, though. You want to make sure that it's not too frozen. You want to be able to walk around a little bit, but then you don't want it to be, you know, too loose, because then, you know, 5 minutes of walking around and you got a wet mess.
Yeah, kind of a syrupy drink.
Yeah.
Just made like some sort of metric for slushiness? Yeah. Is there a viscosity meter for slush?
You, I mean, it takes some time. The folks at 7-Eleven have got this perfected.
Yeah.
And I'm worried that some of these first-time slushy makers are not going to have things down. There's concern.
I thought there needs to be a slushy certification.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see if we can get maybe something worked into the Cicerone program where we can get some slushy certification worked out. Let's talk to Ray.
Sparkling Honey Hive will be another from Sociable. That's going to be at Giggles Campfire Grill. Fresh honey from canola pollinators. Brewed with a touch of cane sorghum and lightly sweetened with dandelion honey. A sharp honey nose gives way to a lingering eucalyptus aroma, while the flavor of vanilla is balanced with a delicate honey backbone.
That's a lot of
super sweet.
Yeah,
there's a lot there
that
just really first of all, the canola, I know it's just the name of the canola farms.
Yeah,
but the pops into my head as like oil.
Yeah,
right. And I know that's just the name of the farms, but it's like.
I'd like to talk about sharp honey nose right there. It's not appetizing.
The Hideaway Speakeasy is going to have another mojito. This is going to be a strawberries and mint bubbly mojito. Features juicy strawberry, bright lime, and mint flavors dancing together with Cannon River, a sparkling Edelweiss served on ice. Strawberry Blonde from Fulton at Hildebrand Concessions is a fruity American blonde ale with a delicate fragrance of German noble hops, a touch of white wheat, and a strawberry puree to create a crisp and smooth sipper.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah, I'd try it.
That's going to be only in the Grandstand Concert Venue. Concert ticket required.
Oh,
boo.
Is Nickelback covered this time?
No, Weird Al is, though.
Weird Al is.
Go see Weird Al is. Weird Al.
Andy's Grill is going to have an entry from Bent Paddle, Summer Lovin' Orange IPA. Combining Bent Paddle's flagship Bent Hop Golden IPA with a burst of orange and tangerine infusion. That's going to be good. I have no doubt that that's going to be fantastic. They had the, a couple years ago when they had the Blood Orange. Not Blood Orange. They just had what did they call it? I forget what they had. It had a nice catchy name, and it was at Ballpark Cafe, and I drank about 72 of them.
I think that's why you can't that's remember. Why you can't.
It was so good.
What was the name of that beer I got hammered on?
Summer Sunset Frosé at Giggles Campfire Grill, a rosy blend of peach juice, strawberry juice, and Round Lake Winery's Frontenac Gris. That wine is out of Round Lake Winery in Round Lake, Minnesota. That's going to be tasty. Another rosé, Sunset Rosé wine at Hildebrand Concessions. Again, you need a concert ticket. It's strawberry choke cherry. Never heard of that.
Choke cherries are more tart, right? I believe.
Yeah, I just actually heard about those recently too.
I don't know what those are. got wine from Parley Lake Winery out in Waconia. Third Street Brewhouse has Toasted Pumpkin Seed Ale. A traditional lager with a toasty, roasty pumpkin seed flavor at Giggles Campfire Grill.
Dude, I love toasted pumpkin seeds.
Yeah, I was going to say, we always talk about pumpkin beers having all the pumpkin spice and not the pumpkin flavor.
This is kind of a nutty profile I could go for.
Yeah. Very Berry Frozen Hard Seltzer by the Free House at the Blue Barn. A refreshing frozen hard seltzer with flavors of ripe summer berries begging to be sipped on a hot summer day. Sip me! Sip me!
Mr. Frozen, what do you think?
I'm on the fence. I mean, I like the, you know where I'm at on slushies. I love the frozen. But I don't know that it's necessary to freeze a seltzer. The whole idea behind the seltzer is that it's already effervescent. Do we need to slushify it?
This sounds like cotton candy who can give you a brain freeze.
We'll find out if it needs to be slushified, because I will definitely try one of those.
I'm intrigued. Oh, maybe that's the whole idea.
Oh, you're up for fun next.
And then the final of the debuting is the White Claw Red Bell Slushy, another frozen seltzer. It's the black cherry White Claw hard seltzer mixed with coconut berry Red Bull. Jeez. At O'Gara's. And it doesn't say in the description, but it is described as a slushy, so...
Yes.
Imagine they're freezing it and slushing it up. That's And I don't know, you know, I am not a fan of the Red Bull cocktails. I don't need to get
I was wired for about 3 years in my 20s. I really, really was.
Not a good feeling. Like to get all like jacked up on the caffeine.
Uppers and downers. It worked for Elvis.
It's part of a balanced diet.
I had a friend ordering me. This was probably about 15 years ago. It was down in Indianapolis. So we were at a bar and he kept ordering me Red Bulls and vodka. And
that's a good friend.
By the end of the night, man, I just hated everything. I hated everything and everyone and myself until I could finally pass out.
The classic is the Red Bull and vodka, or the Red Bull and Jägermeister. And it's I really do enjoy the Red Bull from time to time, but I had some of these new flavors and I don't care for like the coconut berry and some of the new ones. I did try the pear. That's really good.
I've lived off the cranberry for the last 2 months. Ask any of my staff.
some of them are good. I don't know if I could get down on the coconut berry though.
I got no issue with Red Bull. It's fine in and of itself. And I've certainly got no issue with vodka.
We just can't do the two together.
I don't see any reason why you would want to have the two together.
This sounds like a Four Loko meta slushy machine.
Now we're talking.
I'm scrolling through the returning beers, and I see here that Tin Whiskers is bringing back my dill pickle Kolsch.
Yes, sir.
I like that. That's going to be back at Giggles.
Another Froze Wine slushy is coming back in Minnesota Wine Country. Frozen Grain Belt Blue, another slushy. It's telling you, it's a year of the slushy.
Yeah.
Maple Bacon Brown Ale at Giggles. That's always a big seller. Excelsior makes that.
Yep.
Oosh. I don't know.
It's not for me. I've tried it. It's certainly not bad. It's just I didn't care for that flavor. I'm not a big fan of maple flavor. Like, I like maple syrup. Maple syrup's great, but I haven't had too many things that are maple flavored that I've liked.
Well, and here's the thing. Like, I love bacon. You guys know I love bacon.
Sure.
What? Never heard of it before.
but like the pairing it with the bacon slice, yeah, it works. But you also get a not really warm piece of supposed to be crispy bacon with your beer, and it's not a great vehicle for it. I gotta pass.
Our friends over at Beaver Island are bringing back the Ufta Ale. It's a easy drinking, slightly tart flavors harmonizing with honey aromas. Honey's back at it to make the ultimate Norwegian inspired session beer. That's going to be at Giggles.
Yeah, there's two more slushies are going to be there. The raspberry wine slushy is going to be by Winehaven at Minnesota Wine Country, and the red sangria slushy. It's a red sangria. It's mixed with the red wine and ratafia wine, and that's going to be at the French Crepiteria.
Blue Barn, our friends at the Freehouse, are bringing back my favorite beer of last year, the Limelight. It's a slight agave sweetness partnered with a citrusy punch of lime and a hint of sea salt. That was a very, very drinkable, nice, healthy dose of lime beer. I enjoyed that a lot last year. That was my favorite beer last year.
So what's everybody's most anticipated first sip of the State Fair? Out of all the stuff that we went through, Drew, do you have one that is going to be, is it going to be the pickle, or is it going to be Barry Manilow? Is there one out of all that we went through that is at the top of your, is it Crop Duster?
I'm scrolling because I want to find the name, but it was the one by Bent Paddle. The
pronounced Michelada.
Where is the orange
one? That's a DIY.
Bent Paddle. Give me a second here.
How about you, Sean?
There you go. Summer Lovin' Orange IPA.
That's Summer Lovin' Orange IPA.
Andy's Grill. That's the one, because I love Bent Paddle. They're so good. And
absolutely.
Their Bent Hop Golden IPA is fantastic. And I'm remembering how much I enjoyed whatever they called their orange beer from a few mm-hmm. a few years ago.
They zested all by hand, the Maniacs.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fantastic, and I'm definitely going to try that.
That makes sense, knowing you and knowing the beers you enjoy. That's a perfect.
Yeah, that's a Drew beer.
Yep. What about you, Sean?
I feel like I've plugged Shells enough and haven't got my paycheck yet, so I'm going Fulton.
Mango Star. Yeah, I figured that's what you were going to go for when you said Fulton. I think the one I want to try most is the first one we talked about, the Berry Go Round Sour.
Yeah, that was my second.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's because you've got great taste, Sean.
Yeah.
You too, Drew.
You too, Schmitty. That's why you keep coming back to do the show with me, because you've got good taste.
Exactly.
All right, it's going to be a fun year. A fun year out at the fair.
It's going to be a blast, man.
Yeah.
Are we going to go out there?
I don't know yet. We don't have anything lined up yet.
All right.
And I'm going to Florida the second weekend of the fair.
Oh.
I booked that flight today.
Oh.
So if we do go, it'll have to be that first weekend. My dad's birthday is on the 22nd. So
why did your dad have to have a birthday on the second week of the fair? Couldn't he plan it some other time?
He should have really thought this through a little better. Back in 1942 in Miami, Florida.
Plan around the Minnesota State Fair. It's that big.
Sean, you got anything you want to plug on the Happy Gnome? I think you have some dinners and whatnot going on. I saw you've got a Summit Brewing Beer Dinner happening August 13th.
Yep, that is the next one. We are continuing to do those beer dinners. We're trying to break a little bit away from format and try some new stuff. So as a part of that, I think we talk about beers are always a little bit subjective, whatever is your favorite, whatever the best brewery is. But I think objectively, the best season for beer is coming up.
Yeah, fall.
Fall is the best.
Mm-hmm.
And there's everybody knows that I'm a big fan of Oktoberfest. So we're going to do a Oktoberfest beer dinner, getting Oktoberfests from multiple breweries, all local. Try those out and then have a Oktoberfest themed beer dinner.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is September 24th. Is that right?
September 24th. Yeah.
Drew, you know what day that is?
No.
I believe that's the, is that the day before we fly out to Oktoberfest in Germany?
You are correct.
So I think we owe it to ourselves and Sean.
And really.
I know a guy.
We owe it to America.
We owe it to Germany.
Yes.
Damn it. I think you might see us there.
Yeah.
That sounds fantastic.
We'll make it happen.
What's on the, do you have a menu planned? Can you give us a little preview, just a little tease of what we can expect?
I don't know if you've ever heard of it. There's a type of bread that they use and they twist it around it and make a knot.
Is it a Pürzel? It's German. I have a hard time pronouncing it.
Pürzel.
Pizza. It's pronounced pizza.
Yeah. So, spoiler alert, on the Oktoberfest beer dinner, there will be pretzels.
Very cool.
Nice.
I'm thinking we're going to end up making some homemade sausage for that as well. But,
I'm on board.
I might have some gifts to give my chef to get that done.
Fantastic.
All right, let's put that on the books, man. Let's get out there and do a show there.
Go to the happygnome.com, click on the events tab, get yourself some tickets to that Summit Beer Dinner and the Oktoberfest Dinner, August 13th, September 24th.
Yeah.
Thanks, Sean, so much for joining us. Thanks to Derek. Oh, wait, Derek didn't join us
Didn't even talk about him.
Well, we'll talk about him after the show ends. I think he's going to join us in an upcoming show. That was my fault booking it, not Derek's. I should have been more explicit in my direction. So,
yeah, you big dummy.
You know,
slacker.
Fault where the fault lies. That's on me. So we'll talk to Derek soon enough.
All Stevie Nicks next week.
Oh, no. I'm going to be gone.
Call in sick.
See ya. I got a soul, and I'm super bad. I got soul. I'm super bad.